You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, Tyless today on a Thursday. I am Greg Sussman. Happy to have you here because today we have 7 preseason games out there, and man, am I excited. Corey, what's going on?
Yo, what's the deal, Greg Sussman? Fantasy executive is in the building, you know what I'm saying, on a Thursday. Got a preseason game last night that we're going to go over. Got some more preseason action to come up today. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things that we got to get done right now. People are drafting this weekend. We got the flex coming up, you know what I'm saying? So I got very little time to get Scott ready for this season. So we are in prime time, you know what I'm saying, analyst mode right now. We're in prime time teaching mode right now. We are in prime time getting it done mode right now. I got my man Scott Engel sitting right here. The king is on the clock this weekend. I have to make sure that these next couple days we have very good programmers so Scott don't embarrass himself on Saturday in the Flex League draft.
Good morning.
Scott, good morning to you, sir.
You know, that rant was very amusing and irrelevant.
It's relevant, Scott. It's relevant.
You had your rant.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to leave and you can talk the
whole
time.
Don't leave, Scott.
How's that?
Don't leave.
Anyhow, that rant was amusing and irrelevant. I'm very much looking forward to the flex drafts this weekend. Actually, Corey's going to be covering them here on the network this weekend.
So yeah, me and Joe Galino.
Make sure you tune in for that. And again, looking forward to the preseason this weekend. And, you know, baseball still going strong for a lot of you as well. You know, excellent game last night between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Zach Greinke actually losing at home as Alex Wood is what your boy now? What, Matty, 14-1?
14 wins.
Yeah. Nice call.
That son of a gun passed me last night. This dude don't stop.
He good.
Adam Ronis.
He passed me last night.
It's the first time all year.
You know what? I just want to make a quick baseball point right now. If you're in your league and you're worried about, you know, rising in the standings, take what I call the NASCAR approach. The NASCAR approach is like
listen
to me. When you're in NASCAR, you pass one car at a time. Do whatever you can to pass one guy in the standings at a time, and you know you'll find yourself vaulting up.
By the way, I'm Matt Modica. Good morning to you all, Scott. If you do leave, I will definitely take a sausage McMuffin. just throwing that out there.
Okay.
It's okay. Matt, how are you this morning?
Oh, doing good. Yes, I am tireless. I was very tired this morning. And, you know, I got to drive to Staten Island after this, so I want to be comfortable.
I understand. And tomorrow's casual Friday, so we'll pick up the time. We'll pick up the time
Maybe
Monday.
Maybe some shorts tomorrow.
Some shorts tomorrow.
I'll join the bandwagon.
I appreciate it. It's very comfortable. Hey, in this hour, we get back from the break. I want to look at yesterday's poll question in regards to diversifying rosters. Get back to that conversation because I wanted to follow up there.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I want to follow up there and tell you what the people voted. The people voted on it. You guys want us to talk about it. We're going to do. I got some tweets about it last night. I wanted to go over that. I know Corey, you've been talking with people about it. So we'll get into that when we get back.
Yeah. I got some interesting thoughts on it myself.
So, more conversations about diversifying your rosters. We'll also preview all 7 preseason games. Dr. A coming up in about 15 minutes.
Dr. A
now.
Soon.
So, we got
That's
a lot going on here. Hour number 3 just underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Back up and Adam Roto Experts in the Morning. Got my man Greg Sussman getting the tablet together so he can put us up on the big screen up here in Rock and Raleigh, Studio 34, where we simulcast from every morning. Greg Sussman.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
We were checking out a moment ago, or yesterday rather, diversifying rosters.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we had a big discussion and disagreement with us. You know, Scott feels very strongly that every draft is separate. You do your thing each and every draft. If you have a draft Tuesday, you don't let that affect your draft on Wednesday. Every draft is completely and entirely different. Now, we asked you on FNTSY Radio, or at FNTSY Radio on Twitter, we said, listen, you play multiple leagues. How important is it to diversify your rosters? Extremely important. Not my first priority, or I'm going to draft my guys. Votes are final now. 46% of the participants said it is not my first priority. It's not in the forefront of your mind. 40% said, I'm going to draft my guys, which is what you were saying, Scott. Just 14% believe that it is extremely important to diversify your rosters.
Can I just make a point here? Because I was pretty adamant about this yesterday.
Yeah, of course.
Say you have four leagues, right? And say you weren't getting picks 5 through 8 in those four leagues.
Sure.
And say you have the opportunity to get Julio Jones or Odell Beckham in each of those four leagues. I'm fine going to Julio, to Odell.
Right.
I'm not going to diversify to a point where I'm going to go off. They're going to be guys that are right next to each other.
Right.
Like, say, I'll go the wide receiver route. Whether in that same range, say I have the same four drafts, I have the same pick in that same range where it's Sammy, Demarius, and Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
If I have a combination of those three in those four leagues, these are guys I have right next to each other. I'm not going from my 13th ranked guy to my 18th ranked guy or something like that. So that's my point on it.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's where we differ. And
right.
That's cool. You know, like, to me, you know, I'm not going to worry about what I can't control in a lot of leagues. I can't because, you know, doing this for so many years, it's like I don't think about that because I usually in a lot of leagues, I'm not going to end up with the same pick. The draft is going to be – the flow is going to be different in every draft. And if it so happens that I'm at 5 in 2 leagues and Odell Beckham is my guy, then Odell Beckham is my guy.
So here's the question that I received on Twitter that was directed at you, Scotty,
yeah.
And I want to see how you answer it. If you have 15 leagues,
right.
You said you play around 10, I believe you said.
I've played up to 23 at a time.
All right, so if you play in 15
leagues. He don't have that kind of stamina no more, though.
And you have, this doesn't happen, I realize.
He was asking me the question.
It's hypothetical, and I understand that. But just so that people understand, because this is what I was asked on Twitter here.
Yeah.
If you have 15 leagues, you have the first pick in all of them. Are you going to take David Johnson in 15 leagues? Or whoever you have first? Whoever you have first.
All right. I know how you're going to react to this.
I'm not going to react to anything.
I know how you're going to react to
this. Scott, I'm not reacting to anything. I got this question on Twitter.
Okay.
Want to ask you your answer.
Say it's never going to happen.
I'm not fighting.
Please do not tell me what to say.
I'm not trying to argue.
That's infuriating.
I just want everybody to understand. You have 15 leagues. You have the number one overall pick in all of them. It just happened to happen that way. Would you take David Johnson, who's your highest rated player, I believe, would you take him in all 15?
First off, I'm going to say like it or not. That's never going to happen, so I'm not
going
to... Can I make my point?
Can I make my point?
Can I make my point? He was looking to me. I'll make my point, and you make your point. Okay, first off,
go ahead,
that's
Scott.
Never, ever going to happen. Ever. Ever. Okay, so I don't have to worry about it realistically. You're going to ask me authentically what I'm going to do? I'm never going to have to worry about that. But if you want to have fun... Yeah, I'll take David Johnson in all 15.
So
just for the sake of the exercise. But it's never going to happen.
But ultimately, I think what Mike on Twitter was trying to ask was, while it will never happen in the first round.
If I have 8 leagues and I get the number one pick in the 3 of them, which is more realistic, I'm going to take David Johnson with all 3.
Fine. And I think that's all.
That's me needing in the middle.
No problem.
Yeah.
That's all he was looking for.
Yeah.
That's all he was looking for. Was...
I realize the question's a little out there. So, you know, meeting in the middle, like if I have 8, if I got 10 leagues and I got the number one pick in 4, yes, I'll take David Johnson, all 4 of them.
Okay. And so there you go. So, Mike, we hope that answers your question. Scott, it does not matter. It does not matter the amount of leagues. every league is different. You draft it on your own. Doesn't matter the day. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. It's go by the board, and that's what Scotty's going to do.
All right, so just thinking about this yesterday, right, especially when I saw the results of the poll.
Yes, sir.
So you're not – if you're if the majority of people listening are not going to be in 10, 11 redrafts. You feel what I'm saying? They may have two or three leagues. If you have two or three leagues, you know what I'm saying, you are a casual player, you're a more serious player, but still on a casual level, it's this is right here. This is, I put my life into this, so it's a little bit different from me. So I have to diversify, you feel what I'm saying? Now, if you're in three or four leagues, say you got your home league, you got your office league, and you got a friends and family league, you know what? Go ahead and get your guys, you feel what I'm saying? Go ahead and get your guys, stack your guys, do what you want to do. Don't worry about diversifying, you know what I'm saying? Sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Take my rankings to each and every one of your draft. Use the promo code Frenzy, get you a couple of bucks off. So there you go right there. Do that now, as a matter of fact. So after you do that, after you go download my rankings, you take them to your draft, you know what I'm saying? you go ahead, draft your guys, draft my guys, whatever the case may be, I got your back covered. Play it that way. Don't worry about diversifying your rosters. If you are more of a serious player, if you're more of a hardcore player, if it's more of a lifestyle and a culture of fantasy football to you, then and you've never considered diversifying before, but you've had situations where you've been burnt for stacking up the same player on multiple teams, then now is the time to start diversifying your roster. I was in a draft last night. I left some of my guys on the board purposely because I got them all over the place. I left Tyrell Williams on the board last night, took Devontae Parker, right? Mm-hmm. I left James White on the board last night, took CJ Procise. I took Terrence West for the first time last night. I took Jason Witten for the first time last night, even though I had a chance to get my guy Eric Ebron a few rounds earlier. I want to mix it up, match it up.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be certain teams, where certain leagues where, okay, this is a big one right here. I want to win this one. I'm going to get my guys regardless. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
The bag might be a little bit heavier on that one, or I might have some real stiff competition because I like to play against the best because I consider myself the best. You feel what I mean? So when you look at a situation like that, then I'll go get my guys. It's all about the importance of the league. You know what I'm saying? Matt Medica, give me some kind of Wall Street stock market term for the importance of the investment. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's just simple. If you're going to take your money and put it in the stock market, are you going to just put it all in one stock? Or are you going to pick multiple stocks and have, you know, some security with some blue chips,
yeah,
some emerging markets?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to look at some mid caps that are there, you know, like you know, we look at middle round players that, like, say, aren't flashy but get the job done year in, year out. So it's like a portfolio is how
exactly
you should be looking at it.
Exactly.
That's the way I approach it. And I'm not saying to go off your board. I think the analogy of a Beckham and Julio is a great analogy. Say you have Melvin Gordon and Shady next to each other. Maybe you get two Shady, two Gordon.
Sure.
Or a Jai and Howard, say, in that second round. They have bust factors. You're worried maybe one of them busts. So you don't want to put all your eggs in that basket. I'm just saying, look, when it comes to the New York Super, that to me is the toughest league.
You're
going to
go get your guys, yes, in that league. That it doesn't matter toughest, diversifying, yeah, in that league, yeah, right?
No, that doesn't,
exactly.
That is the paramount of all leagues that I will play in. And it's the stiffest competition I've faced in either baseball or football. So, no joke.
And that's why you want to go get your guys, because you want to beat that crew with your guys. So if you're a part of the culture and you don't play it like this, you should start. But if you're not, just go get your guys. I'm fine with that. You feel what I'm saying? But like I said, I put my life into this. So I can't have, you know what I'm saying? You know, I can't have, like, I got a lot of Brandon Cooks. I can't have him drowning me everywhere. So some places I'll get off of him. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm about to release the all executive team, the first team and the second team for 2017. So the guys is going to be on that list are players that I'm going to have the most shares of. And you should probably too, because, you know, I'm showing the belt to the TV people, because you know what I'm saying? If you want the hardware like me, then you should just go ahead and listen to what I do. You feel what I'm saying? But if you want to get to the point where you want to, you know, get a part of the culture, then start playing like this, because you'll find out, in my opinion, it makes it a little bit easier when you're trying to return on those investments. You know what I'm saying?
Those are all, you know, respectable opinions that you should respect.
It's not,
but you know what?
It's respectable. It's right.
No, it's not. It's not necessarily different ways to do this. I put my life into this. I've done this my life for a long time, and I'm not worried about the diversification because I don't feel like I'm going to end up with the same guys regardless in most cases. And like I said, in 4 of 10 leagues, if I have that number one and number two pick, it's still just 4 out of 10. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to try to control the diversification. I'm taking my best guy left on the board. I'm in the culture. I'm doing this too. And, yeah, you know, see, I'm not going to take the same approach.
I kind of agree with Corey in this, that, like,
I realize I'm on an island here.
No, I understand that. I'm not even arguing with you.
No, not on an island, Scott. The people agree with you, Scott.
They do.
We're on an island.
I'm saying it's about risky versus your reward.
You really have to put that in.
We'll continue the conversation on the other side of Dr. A, who comes up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Roto Experts in the Morning. We are happy to be hanging out with you here. We're going to pause the diversity and the diversifying question for a little bit, because it's that time of the week where we want to bring in our good buddy, Dr. A from Inside Injuries, to join us here on the program. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing very well. I think Scott's come down with something where he barks like a dog. Are you able to diagnose that?
Doc, I think it's mental, though, Doc. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Doc, I don't think it's a physical ailment. I think it's something in his head.
Well, we may need to some imaging then. Maybe we'll do an MRI or a CAT scan, you know?
Yeah.
Please.
All right, Doc, I want to hop right into it, because I've been all over the kid. I've been drafting him everywhere. The young man out there in Tennessee, Corey Davis. Obviously, you know what I'm saying, he's going to miss about a week of practice now dealing with this hamstring thing. Does he have a history of soft tissue injuries, Corey Davis, or is this something you think he can battle through and still be ready to go when we come out there for week one? Because I got a lot invested in this guy, Doc, and I do not need him dropping me.
Okay, so he does have a history, not of hamstring injuries, but he has some minor ankle injuries in the past. However, you guys know what I always say about hamstring injuries is wide receivers, right? The good news is that it looks like this is not a grade three. It looks like it's a grade two. That's what our algorithm is saying. So it's a strain, but so he should, you know, it's about a 2 week optimal recovery time. I know it says at least a week, but it's probably a 2 week recovery time. Corey, unfortunately, though, he was elevated injury risk before this happened in our algorithm, and you know he will stay at elevated injury risk up to the draft. I'm sorry to report to you that you know, unfortunately, he is one of these guys that our algorithm is saying that he will be at elevated injury risk at the beginning of the season.
Doc, Jay Ajayi recently dealing with a concussion,
yep.
And we've talked about Ajayi before, like past history with his knees and items like this, very violent running style. What's the short-term and also the long-term prognosis on a guy like Ajayi?
Well, Ajayi does not have a long history of concussions, and if you looked at some of the reports coming out of practice on Tuesday, that he actually practiced on a limited basis and was jogging on the sideline. you know, guys that had significant concussions, you know, they won't do anything for a week, basically. And so if you see that, that means, you know, that he's probably, the concussion that he sustained is pretty minimal, and he should be, you know, back. Our algorithm's really not saying that it's too bad. And so even though he's back, he was low injury risk and above average to peak health. He slipped into elevated because of this, but he will be back in the beginning of the season to low injury risk and at least an above average HPF. So I wouldn't worry too much about this concussion. I think, you know, he, from a health standpoint in the beginning of the season, if he doesn't have any other injuries before the season starts, he should be really good to go once the season starts.
Hey, Doc, I was going to ask about Josh Doctson, but I feel obligated to go the Sammy Watkins route. So what's the news on Sammy? Give me good news. I don't want any bad news here.
I thought you were going to ask that question first before everybody else. waiting for you there, Sammy Watkins. So every time we've talked about Sammy Watkins, what have I said? That it's not pretty, it's not good, right? And so he was elevated before training camp, below average HPF. He had an injury scare on Monday, tweaked his ankle. It's a grade one ankle sprain. Okay, it's grade one. It's not that bad. He should recover from that. However, we have been down on Sammy Watkins. He's at a 21% injury risk, which is elevated, teetering on high injury risk right now. He is one of these avoid risky draft picks coming to the season. We've always said that. I'm sorry, he did not improve to the point where our algorithm could sign off on him. So I am sorry. The bearer of bad news again for Sammy Watkins for you, buddy.
We still love you, Doc.
Matt, let me follow up on that. Given what Doc says, he says it each and every week, really, in regards to Sammy Watkins, will it affect anything for you, in all honesty?
It is concerning. I'm not going to lie. It is concerning. I will monitor the rest of the rest of the preseason. It's still, the talent is just so overwhelming. The target availability there. This is a guy that just, everything is set up from the talent, the availability, the contract status. So it does damper it a bit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just, this is a guy, foot fracture, foot injuries, and wide receivers, multiple other minor injuries, and now he has a grade one ankle. We've always had him at elevated, and, you know, but you're right. Some guys will just pick no matter what their health history is because of the talent that's involved. I mean, that's the other side of the coin, right?
Absolutely. No question about it. Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries. We're hanging out with him this morning. Appreciate your time. Doc, Devontae Booker, the depth chart comes out for Denver, and despite Booker's injury, he is listed as the number two running back on the roster behind C.J. Anderson. So fantasy owners want to know, how quickly will Devontae Booker be back at practice and healthy and ready to go?
So this, risk factor of basically a non-displaced wrist fracture is a minimal 7-week recovery. And, he's still about 5 weeks away from having any type of significant improvement and to be good to go, and not even including a few more weeks of rehab. So I do not think he'll be ready for opening day. If he does, be very, very wary. The biggest thing about running backs and wrists, you guys can know, how are you going to hold the football? Especially when you experience pain, if it creeps up on you in the middle of the game, the fumble risk is too great. And so right now, from an injury standpoint, he is not, his numbers do not look good. I mean, he's at 27% high injury risk, and he's at poor HPF right now. He won't get anywhere near normal, unfortunately, to start the season. And 2-3 weeks in, the best you could hope for is that he'll be at an above average, but he'll stay at elevated injury risk probably throughout the beginning of the season. So it doesn't look good for Devontae Booker, especially with this wrist fracture, so soon before the start of the season.
That's frustrating, Cor.
Yeah, it is frustrating, Doc, because he's a guy I'm in on. But really, I got him in a draft last night in the 19th round, so I'm willing to take the gamble on that, you know what I'm saying? Not saying, I trust the Inside Injuries app. I've seen what y'all have done. But in the 18th round, I'm not playing a premium for him. Let me ask you this, Doc. This time of year, we get a lot of hamstring this, or, whatever, ankle injury this. We get a lot of news that comes out of the camp where they're telling us why these players aren't practicing. In situations, though, where they're like, he has a arm injury, he has a leg injury, he has a foot injury, where the details are not really, like, lined out, where they don't really give where the information that's coming out of camp from the team doctors is kind of vague. Would you worry about situations like that as a team could be trying to cover something up or mask something?
Well, there's no doubt that their gamesmanship by the teams to not produce and tell the full story. I mean, it happens all the time. It's sort of to throw everybody off. So yes, Corey, the answer to your question is yes, but we don't worry about that here because we have the history of this guy for the last, since he started playing high school football. So we know a history of every single one of his injuries. We know kind of where he's been, how he's recovered, all of that stuff. And, you know, historical statistics don't lie. So even if they tell us it's a leg injury, because of his position, because of reports that we're getting in terms of certain keywords and all of his previous injuries and a bunch of other metrics, we can have a really good understanding and idea of where this injury is and how severe it is. And so, it is a gamesmanship thing that the teams play. But that's why we have statistics and algorithms. You know, you learn a lot when you aggregate millions of pieces of data. So does that answer your question? I know I kind of talked, I said like 84 sentences to answer it, but.
No, more or less. That was a very good promotion for Inside Injuries, the app, which I pop out throughout the course of the show. So basically, if we follow the paper trail, we can see what the situation is. Because, you know, it's a player out there that I'm worried about right now because we're just hearing with Amari Cooper. He's missed practice 5 days, but they're just like, it's a leg thing. And I'm like, well, what kind of leg thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I worry about stuff like that when I don't hear something significant. Like, when they don't give me anything, like, you know, this is the problem right here. Like, it's a quad or it's a hamstring or it's a calf. When they say that, I know what I'm dealing with. When they say it's a leg thing, I'm like, well, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, it could be nothing. And then just being precautionary because, you know, Mark Cooper's history. So, or it could be he had a little tweak and now they're sort of resting him because, you know, there's no value added by continuing to practice him. So I understand that frustration, Corey. But, you know, again, the key words are certain things that he does, you know, on the field or if he's off the field. We will start to get more information for sure. And if it's a leg, you know, you can't be completely, the NFL mandates that you can't completely tell a complete lie. You know what I mean? You can't say the guy has a leg injury and then all of a sudden he has an arm injury. You know, you have to have some sort of, they follow certain parameters in the NFL injury reporting system. And so, you know, there is a certain degree of truth to what they're saying. You just have to kind of try to decipher it, you know, as much as possible. And that's what our app and our algorithms and our website and everything is for. So
there you go. Dr. A, Inside Injury. He joins us every week here on a Thursday. So we appreciate your time and we'll talk to you next week, Doc. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
There you go. When we come back, more football talk. We preview all 7 preseason games. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout. for a very special discount.
Fantasy Sports. Roto Experts in the morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scotty Love, getting it on. You know what I'm saying? There you go, Scotty Love. Wall Street, Matt Medica, 844-843-6879. That is 844-843-6879 is the telephone number to dial. You know what I mean? If you want to get involved with the Roto Experts in the morning. See, a lot of people don't know that we're still here. You know what I'm saying? But you can still call up, talk to us. At 844-843-6879. We're still getting you ready for fantasy football season. There's nothing changed. It's nothing different from the last 6 or 7 years or something like that, Scott. We're still here. We're still getting it done. So, and we still got the best content in the business. Speaking of the best content in the business, make sure you head on over to rotoexperts.com right now. Right now, ASAP. I mean, I'm talking about you take out your phone and do it right now, Jack, and sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package live for 2017. Use the promo code Frenzy. That's the program that comes up next. It features the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, myself, and Wall Street, Matt Medica. So, Scotty.
And also, go ahead. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. My updated ranks, my guide to the first round, my breakdown every pick, enter the King of Code for checkout. And they perfectly complement each other, these packages. The Exclusive Edge package, a lot of deep analysis and a cheat sheet generator. Corey's is focused very on high stakes and also does breaking player news, deep player comparisons, and it's a lot of video as compared to reading, Snapchat, Facebook, etc.
There you go right there, different ways to interact with you. So, Matt Medica, I hopped in a NFFC Express last night because I wanted to see what some of the latest trends were and see what was going on as far as what the best players are drafting right now. One of the things I noticed is we now have what I would call a consensus top five picks. I would say the consensus top fives are Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown, and LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy is a top five pick in fantasy leagues right now. You're really not seeing him slide nowhere past six. Shady is pushed up into the top five, and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I really don't know if I agree with it, though.
No, I'm going to go, for me, it's going to be Julio and Beckham there. After that, I can make the argument for putting LeSean McCoy there. Though, like I said, I like picking eight or nine, because if I get AJ Green there, I'm ecstatic.
See,
I like starting way.
And in my first round guide on rotoexperts.com, I have the same top four, but I have Odell at number five, and it's split so close with me from Mike Evans. Look, there's a lot to like about McCoy, but like Matt has pointed out, like those touchdowns last year were almost like an outlier for him. You know, he did have his highest yards per carry last year as well. There's a lot to like about him, but I have him at number nine overall. It's like I cannot pass on those superstar elite wide receivers. To me, LeSean McCoy is in the second tier of running backs, even though he's very good. To me, those are still first-tier wide receivers. So if I'm splitting hairs, I want one of those superstars.
Matt, when you do the New York Super on September 2nd or September 3rd, if you get the 8th pick, A.J. Green is not going to be there at 8.
There's a good chance he won't. I mean, the guy that's fallen is Mike Evans. Mike Evans is taking the biggest tumble here.
He is. It's really interesting. I was talking about this yesterday in the control room with the guys. Like, why is Mike Evans falling all of a sudden?
It doesn't make sense. When I did the comparison for my article, they are so close.
They're looking at the targets.
You could also make the case, and you could agree, just, I'm saying you could argue the case that, you know, could Beckham lose targets now because he got Brandon Marshall and et cetera?
I think you're 100% right, Scott.
Those guys are like 3A and 3B for me.
And I think actually DeSean Jackson going to Tampa helps everybody there. I really do. He's that type of player that is going to open things up for everybody. Look, if Mike Evans goes from 171 or 173, whatever how many targets he had, and goes to 150, which he's done in the past, and still catches 75 balls, he's going to have the yardage. He's a guy that's going to score double-digit touchdowns. He is a big red zone threat. And that year that he had three, that's an outlier.
When you compare Beckham to Evans, you have to look at the three-year radius of each. And Beckham always beats him in catches. Like, he had 100 last year, 90 every year. Evans finally hit 90 last year. So when I'm splitting the two of them, that's the only reason I could say, okay, take Odell over Evans, but if you take Evans, you're not crazy. Maybe some people, though, were like more, you know, looking, crunching the numbers here and saying, this guy finally hit 90 last year. He's going to go back from 90 again because of the additions of DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard. I'm not saying I agree with that, but maybe that's what they're thinking.
It's really intriguing. We'll get more into the first round tomorrow because I think Mike Evans dropping is surprising.
This is how I would break it down for the people out there. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Because this is this way, that maybe they understand it a little bit better on. Don't worry about what DeSean Jackson is going to take away from Mike Evans. DeSean Jackson is not taking away from Mike Evans. DeSean Jackson is adding to Mike Evans. He makes the targets that come from Jameis more efficient. So it may not be the same level of targets. It may not be the same volume, but it's going to be more efficient, a better type of volume. He's not going to be triple covered and Jameis trying to fling it in there to him. See, there's a lot of targets that came from Mike Evans like that. One of you stat analytical nerd type, if you want to go out there and do the percentage of how many targets that Mike Evans were that got last year that were targets where he was in duress, that number is going to drop this year. Here's how you do it. What Martavis Bryant is going to do for Antonio Brown this season is the same thing that DeSean Jackson is going to do for Mike Evans this season.
And you look at that offense, too. This offense is going to be aggressive. They are going to push the ball downfield. Jameis Winston is a quarterback. He's a gunslinger. He's going to sling the ball. They're going to throw it a heck of a lot. There's going to be enough to go around. They're going to aggressively push the ball down the field. The running game is not the most dependable running game that you'll see, so there's going to be enough.
I think it's a very suspect running game in Tampa.
I was being nice.
Yeah.
You know what I think about the running game in Tampa, though? We all got the Buccaneers to be this high-powered, dynamic offense this year. So then the running backs should have some goal line action. You feel what I'm saying?
They should have some goal line action, but, and look, maybe their yards per carry
is tight end.
Because of the passing game is taking that step that we all expected to. But, I mean, you're having to rely on Doug Martin, who has flashed in the past but isn't unreliable. Jacques Rogers, who I like, but he's not the most durable kind of guy. He's not a lead back. And now you got a rookie who they're saying has to pick up his playbook and everything. So there's a lot of moving parts in that department.
Yeah, and then you get down to the end zone. If they don't trust the running backs the end zone, look, Winston did rush for a few touchdowns a few years ago, and you got Brate and you got Howard. They can line up in a two tight end set, you know, and a lot of teams do that near the goal line and will throw. You know, we've seen Green Bay, you know, throw a lot near the red zone. So while Corey's by default is you know, that's correct to say, you know, there's other options there, including your guy, Corey O.J. Howard, when they're at the red zone. They could just split out. They could be 2 yards out, and you can two tight ends, jumbo set, and in either one of them or Evans is open.
It just depends on how many touchdowns they score this season. So maybe that's something that the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, who is a part of the Fantasy Football Frenzy, but comes up next on right here on the network. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's like maybe Jake has some kind of projection for that. But when you look at it, there's probably enough touchdowns. I want to see who scored. Probably the Falcons probably scored the most touchdowns last year. So Tampa Bay is a team that can score a lot of touchdowns.
I believe it is. I think they had, with the playoffs, they had like 63 or some crazy
number.
That's
a lot of touchdowns.
Some crazy number. They really. My question here is, Devonta Freeman with this contract, does that do anything to Tevin Coleman with you? I'm just curious.
First of all, speaking of Devonta Freeman, 5 years, $41 million is the highest paid running back in the NFL? That's horrible.
Crazy.
That's horrible. One of the toughest positions, a place where you're really exposed to all kind of brain trauma. You're the highest paid at that position, and you're making $41 million. You know who in the NBA who makes $41 million?
Like Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza Pachulia. You know what I'm saying? Makes $41 million for, you know, to come off the bench for an NBA team. And the money's fully guaranteed. It's crazy.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Devonta Freeman, of course, the highest paid running back in the NFL, as you have said, Corey. Devonta Freeman and the Atlanta Falcons are in action tonight in Miami to face the Dolphins in preseason game number one. Not sure how much we'll see of Devonta Freeman or Tevin Coleman or really the Atlanta offense for that matter. But is there anything you're looking for in this game, Scott?
You know, I want to see maybe how Austin Hooper is going to look, Taylor Gabriel, because of my new article on Seahawks.com. Check it out. I talk about breakthrough players, sleepers, and values, and those are two guys I identify there. On the Miami side, I don't even know if Cutler's going to play, but I assume not, you know, but you want to see, you know, I want to get a good look at Devontae Parker for whatever he's going to play and how Julius Thomas may fit into this offense a little bit.
Devontae Parker come out of the game healthy. He's really want
to. That'd be nice right there.
Maybe sit him.
The Bucs scored 41 touchdowns last year. They'll probably score 50 this year.
I don't think that's incorrect, for the record. I really don't.
Yeah, for Miami, I want to look, see Kenyon Drake, see him with the ball and stuff like that. With the Falcons, I mean, being that they're coming off the Super Bowl, I don't know who's going to play and really what they're going to do. I think it's going to be really laxed on their department. Maybe have a lot of mainly the backups you're probably going to see.
One of the other games tonight, Minnesota and the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like them. Buffalo, Sean McDermott, Rick Dennison, getting the job done for the Bills. What are you looking for tonight, Matt, and your team?
I don't know. I want to see, hopefully, maybe that first series, they have Tygod throwing the ball around a little. You know, I know what the running game can do. I just want to see, you know, just see him drop back a little and maybe air a couple out.
I'd like to see some of the rookies here, Zay Jones. Of course, Dalvin Cook, I think, we'll be watching to see what he does.
Absolutely.
And Laquon Treadwell, too.
I'm excited for Dalvin Cook, his first game in the NFL, even though it's not a real game. A couple more games I want to get to as we wrap up the program and send you in the Fantasy Football Frenzy. We do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Final five, Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Football Frenzy, part of the Roto Experts block, comes your way next. Corey, another game on the schedule tonight. The Jacksonville Jaguars travel to New England for their first preseason game. What are you looking for?
All right, so obviously you want to see a little piece of the running game of both of these teams. Obviously you want to see Leonard Fournette, the big running back, the big rookie running back. You want to see, you know, what he can do, how he looks when he's out there against NFL talent. Also, you look on the other side of the field, you want to see what the Patriots running game is going to look like. Obviously, no Mike Gilsey tonight, but you do have Rex Burkhead. Now, I took Rex Burkhead in the draft last night. A lot of people like Rex Burkhead. A lot of people are high on Rex Burkhead, Matt Madika being one of them. You know how many carries Rex Burkhead had in his career?
It's not a lot. I know last season he got involved with them, but he was buried on the depth.
He was playing fullback for the Bengals.
He has 87 career carries.
Yeah.
Like, he's an unproven player. This guy's been in the league for 4 years, and for the most part, he's only played on special teams.
Yeah, and that's why he's going as late as he is.
But, like, we got to be careful when we talk about Burkhead because...
Well, where are you drafting Burkhead, though?
You're drafting him in double-digit rounds.
Right, so...
Keep him down there. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think we're pushing him up the board anymore than
that. The appealing thing with Burkhead is the opportunity that could arise on this dynamic offense, high-powered offense.
Okay, but like Scott always says, opportunity doesn't always lead to production because he may get the opportunity, but guess what? He may not be able to play.
But if he shits the bed, it's not really going to hurt
you. It's not going to hurt you, you know what I mean?
You know what? Scouts have said that he's a better runner than, you know, that we've seen. You know,
all the advanced analytics.
But if scouts are saying that, if that was the case, why hasn't he been able to get on the field in 4 years?
Because he was a good fullback, and that's what they used him at in Cincinnati.
As a fullback?
Well, yeah. He was behind Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill.
But both of those guys have been...
He played fullback for them.
Those guys have been replaced, Giovanni Bernard and Hill. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why couldn't Burkhead replace them?
They identified him as a fullback.
He might not have the pedigree.
I don't think he does. Are you about that?
I'm looking at Leonard Fournette in this game. I'm excited to see him on the field. Much like Dalvin Cook, both of these guys in action here tonight. Philadelphia also gets going.
The interceptions Blake Bortles throws.
That's not nice. Philadelphia is in Green Bay tonight.
Go Pack, go.
Sure. I don't really. You know what? I'm not really.
I just like saying.
I'm looking at Ty Montgomery.
Jamal Williams. Another guy we don't ever talk about, but I think you should just to watch on is Aaron Jones.
Yeah, okay. There's another one, especially for your dynasty leaguers. Good point.
It's a good one.
And you know, on the Philadelphia side of things, Wendell Smallwood supposedly having a really good camp. Let's see how well he runs. Alshon Jeffrey, is he going to play? If he does, Torrey Smith, you know, you want to see, it's Carson Wentz developing a rhythm with his new targets.
See, the one little Smallwood thing, it's kind of crazy. Like 2 weeks ago, he was looking good. Then he was probably not going to make the team. Now he's looking great. So I think you want to see honestly how he looks.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm just saying how like preseason news, that cycle just
totally. Let's see how he totally just looks from our own eyeball test. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Denver and Chicago tonight.
NFL Network, yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Pitch man.
Breaking news, I have a draft tonight. Is that better?
Why you got a draft tonight, Scott?
No, I'm saying,
you need to have a draft, Scott, so you can get ready for Saturday. What pick do you have on Saturday?
I'm already ready. What Saturday? I got 8.
You got the 8th pick on Saturday?
Yeah.
What you think about doing at 8?
I'll let you know.
Take Melvin Gordon at 8, Scott.
I'm not doing that.
Then take AJ
Green. If you want to know what Scott's doing at 8, you can read his article in the Sussive Edge Fantasy Football Package where he drafts from every single spot. Use the promo code SUSMANIA and you'll find out exactly what Scott's thinking when it comes to the number 8 spot. For Wall Street, Matt Modica. For the King, Scott Angle. And for the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for joining us here on this morning. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a fantastic rest of your afternoon. We'll see you then. Bye.